smiles on people's faces, and I thought it was quite appropriate. It says, a smile is the light in the window of your face. It tells people that your heart is at home. I thought that was pretty good. Of course, a few weeks ago, we had a lot of smiles in here. We had the honor of seeing the children of the congregation put on a play for us about Noah's Ark. So I thought it'd be fitting for me to speak on Noah's Ark. And one thing, you know, us Christians, we believe in Noah's Ark. There's no problem. You know, we don't have to prove all things. But the Bible does tell us, prove all things. So, in that tone, we are going to look into it. Atheists, agnostic scholars, have all scoffed at the Bible account of Noah's Ark. Even some Christians have misconceptions about Noah's Ark. Recently, I saw a documentary about Noah's Ark being found on Mount Ararat by a Christian explorer. It was dated 2010, and they showed the outline of a huge boat-shaped area near the side of Mount Ararat. It's funny how a scientific search of this magnitude, and they didn't understand the information of what they were supposed to be looking for, but assumed it was shaped like a boat because it was to float on water. So with that in mind, and the purpose of my sermonette, let's title this sermonette, Noah's Ark, A Logical Study. Okay, let's look at God's instructions to Noah about what he was to build. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Those who scoff at the story of Noah's Ark often picture the Ark as a small vessel complete with giraffe's heads sticking out the front of the ship, elephant's tails hanging out the back, with a bearded old man at the stern and hundreds of animals jammed in around the deck as such. But the Ark of the Bible describes it far different than that. Let's read what it says in Genesis 6, verses 6 through 8. I'm reading out of the King James, but it's pretty close to the New Revised 6 through 8. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, drop down to verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we're going to go to 16. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door on the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Okay. Did you notice that God instructed Noah to make an ark, not a boat or a ship? The word translated ark in the Bible is teba, which is Strong's number 8392, meaning a box or chest. The ark was not shaped like a ship with tapered bow and stern, and it says nothing about having a rudder, sails, or oars. One second. There is Noah's Ark. According to the Bible description, it was a great floating chest or box. It was not designed to move from one place to another, but merely to float safely on the surging waters. Now, a ship, if it was supposed to be a ship, which in the Bible, anytime they talk about a boat in the Old Testament, it would be ship. Well, the word for ship is anayai. And I had the Strong's number here. I don't have it printed. I'm sorry. But you'll find that in Judges 5:17, Kings 22:48, and many other places. If it was supposed to be a boat-shaped vessel, a different word would have been used. Okay. Next, it says in verse 14 that the ark was to be made of gopher wood. Well, the word gopher is actually Hebrew. And it's Strong's number 1613 and state it is tree wood for building. Apparently, it would be cypress because that was very available in that area. Next, in verse 14, it states to make rooms in the ark. This would be for the many different animals and storage area for food and also for Noah and his family. Then in verse 14 it states, it shall be pitched inside and out with pitch. The word translated pitch is Strong's number 3722, which is kafar, meaning to cover. The second pitch is Strong's number 3724, kofar, which means to cover with bitumen. Bitumen is a thick, tar-like substance, such as asphalt, which is readily available in the Middle East. This substance would surely waterproof the ark. Then it goes on in verse 15 to describe the fashion of the ark. The length of the ark was to be 300 cubits. Now, a cubit is a unit of measure. It is approximately 18 inches. Most Hebrew scholars believe that the cubit would be measured between 18 and 22 inches. But let's go with the smaller cubit measurement. That would make the ark 450 feet long, which in comparison would be 1.5 times the length of a football field. It goes on in verse 15 to say that it was 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. That would be 75 feet wide, which is twice the width of this room, and 45 feet high. In verse, that's 45 feet high. That would be three, and it talks about three stories, but it would be 15 foot a story, which 15 foot is about halfway up that beam. That's every deck, 450 feet long, twice the width of this room wide, that high. Okay? In verse 16, it states, to make the ark with a window, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. That would mean that there would be an 18-inch section sticking out of the top of the ark, probably for air and light. And it also states that it's to have a door on its side and have lower, second, and third stories, like I said. The deck space for the ark's three stories would total more than 101,000 square feet. Figure your size of your house, 101,000 square feet, or more than 20 standard basketball courts. The total volume of the ark would have been over 1.5 million cubic feet. This would equal the capacity of 569 railroad stock cars. The standard size of a stock car is 44 feet long, with a volume of 2,670 cubic feet. This would make a train more than 5 miles long. The ark was built on a 1-to-6 width-to-length ratio, 50 cubits to 30 cubits. The science of naval architecture reveals that this is an extremely stable width-to-length ratio. Most ocean-going hopper barges use the same ratio in their design. The design of the ark would have made it almost impossible to capsize. Next question is, how long did God give Noah to build the ark? Let's turn to Genesis, the 5th chapter. And let's read verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem and Ham. Okay. And also chapter 7, verse 11. This will tie it together. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, so he was 100 years, Noah has plenty of time to build the ark. Now let's read Genesis 6, 17 through 21. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. I'm going to go to verse 21. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and their wife and their sons' wives and thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark. Of course, there were seven of the clean animals. Keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come into the ark to keep them alive. 21. And take you unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Drop down to 7, verse 2 and 3. And every clean beast thou shalt take with you by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by seven, and males and female, to keep seed upon the face of the earth. Okay. The question now is, how many animals were required to be taken onto the ark? There were three requirements that the animals had to be. They had to be air-breathing, they had to be land-dwelling, and of all the same biblical kind. The Genesis use of the word kind denotes an organism that reproduces others like itself. Since the species concept is so much narrower, many species can be included in one single biblical kind. The term kind is probably closer to the classification of family. For instance, the canine family includes about 14 genera of dog-like animals. The ark did not have to contain 100 species of canines that would make up this group. In reality, they were all represented by a few biblical kind, which would produce all the animals that would make up the canine family. The ark did not need to carry every species, possibly numbering in the millions. The ark was designed to carry only every biblical kind, numbering in the few thousands of terrestrial air-breathing animals. According to John Woodmarap, the author of Noah's Ark, a feasibility study, the total of the animals that Noah would have been needed in the ark to meet the biblical requirement would number between 12,000 and 16,000. Noteworthy also is the fact that there are comparatively few very large size species of animals. In fact, according to one estimate, there is only about 290 species of land mammals that are larger in size than sheep, whereas well over 1,300 are estimated to be smaller than rats. Of the larger mammals, they could have been represented by young ones. So figuring, let's say, the high end, 16,000 animals in the ark, and information from the London Zoo on how much space animals require. Only 40% of the ark volume was required, with the rest of the ark for food, storage, and Noah's family. Now let's talk about caring for the animals. Remember, Noah had lived for 500 years. At this point in his life, he had taken care of animals all his life. He also had his sons to help him and their wives. Much time would have been saved in the care of animals if labor-saving devices were incorporated into the design of the ark. Noah likely made use of self-feeding and self-watering techniques. Such labor-saving designs were fairly common knowledge in the ancient world. Food could have been preloaded into a chute or container on the side of the cages, enabling animals to self-feed. Extra food could have been loaded in the overhead bins or nearby. This would have greatly reduced the time needed to feed the various animals. Water could have been piped by self-filling bowls or troughs. The water could have been gathered through a rainwater cistern system, a lot of rain, and have been preloaded before the flood. Besides, ancient people commonly made indoor pipes from reeds, baked clay, and bamboo tubing. So after our logical study, it is evident when all the facts are examined that there is no scientific evidence that the biblical account of Noah's Ark is a myth or fable. The facts support the view that Noah's Ark was large enough to carry the number of animals required to repopulate the earth after the flood, and that Noah and his family were capable of caring for the animals during their time on the ark. Remember this important biblical principle. God always makes it possible for his servants to accomplish any task he has instructed them to carry out. Our Creator's objective was to save mankind. The patriarch Noah was his human instrument.